Many of you came for prayer last week, and I prayed for you during the week also. I pray that God would have touched you in the way that you were seeking for, and that miracles took place in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk to you about confidence of God, not confession. we see a picture of Daniel in in the lion's den. During his time, when Daniel was living, he was one of those that followed God very closely. But he lived in a world that was ungodly. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of people around him who hated him very much. And they wanted him dead, actually. You know, it's terrible to be living in a society and, you know, there are people around you who wish you were dead, isn't it? And he was one of those. And he was a very good man, a man who prayed, you know, three times a day, a man who called upon his God, and a man who was loved by the king. The king loved him and respected him and honored him. But the people around him didn't like him. And sometimes you may live in a world. Nowadays, we are talking about woke and we are talking about cancel culture and all that. And as a Christian, you have to bear in mind that sometimes you may be in a world where people don't like you. They don't like for what you stand for and what you believe and how you practice your religion or how you're conducting your life. I think we can learn a lesson from Daniel. No matter what people tried to do, he stood firm. Why? His confidence was in God. He knew his God, and he was unshakable. He was unmovable in his belief in God, and he trusted God. And even though when he came to a point where there was a scheme, can you imagine that, to trap him, and in those days, they threw people into the den of lions, you know, and this was the trap that the leaders of that time urged the king to, you know, and he signed the decree. He didn't know what these guys were. I think he wasn't a very smart king. But anyway, he couldn't see that these guys were strategizing to get rid of Daniel. But eventually it happened. And you know, sometimes you may think that you are living in a world and you are in a den. And there are all these lions waiting to pounce upon you. They could be people, around you that are waiting to destroy you. But remember who your God is. And Daniel did that, you know, because he knew God, and that God will never leave him or forsake him. Amen? God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you 24/7. Hallelujah. No matter where you are, no matter what you are going through, he's going to be there with you and he will be your protector. Hallelujah. Because he loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I think each one of us need to put our faith in God. Not just about, you know, our faith is not just about coming to church. Coming to church is one of the aspects. It's for us to grow and to learn to love each other, to worship and so forth. But ultimately, we need to put our trust in God. When you are tried, sometimes you are alone somewhere. And when you are alone, you have to trust God. You may be in a place where your church is not around, your family is not around. Or sometimes you may be in a hospital and there's, you know, some sickness that have attacked you, and you are all alone there. Nobody else can be with you 24/7, you know, but God is there. Hallelujah, and you need to trust him. Praise God. And I pray that you will learn from that. But I'm not going to talk about Daniel. I want to talk about David. Okay? Because David had a different experience. All right? Now, if we go to the next slide, I'm going to read from Psalm 62. It says, I wait patiently for God. I'm using the Good News Translation. I wait patiently for God to save me. I depend on Him alone. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. Look at verse 5 and 6. Some things are repeated. I depend on God alone. I put my hope in Him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. Can you see there are a lot of repeats in verse 1, verse 2, and 5 and 6? You know, sometimes God allows this to happen so that it like reminds us, you know, some things are important and you need to be reminded of it. And so quickly it is reminded, you know. And then there's another verse I didn't put up there, but verse 8, it says, trust in God at all times, my people. Tell Him all your troubles, for He is our refuge. All right, I will cover that at the end. But maybe to start with, I just want to talk a little bit about King Saul, because King Saul is related to David, isn't it? All right? So God had rejected King Saul because of pride and his disobedience. And you can read that in 1 Samuel 15. But when Saul suspected that David was the chosen one to take over his throne, he became a bit mad. He went mad, actually. King Saul became very jealous. Actually, it was a jealous rage in him. And he even tried to kill David twice with a spear. You know, can you imagine? I mean, and at that time, he was his son-in-law. And David was liked by the whole nation. And here was the king trying to kill him. And that's something very difficult. And he was a successful warrior. He fought many battles for the king, and yet he still wanted to kill him. But it's because there was a demonic oppression on King David, King Saul, and he was already rejected by God. Because of this, David had to run. And he ran for his dear life, mind you. Because it was not only King Saul that was wanting to kill him. The whole army of Israel was hounding him. Now, can you imagine that? If you were a wanted man and the police were looking after you, the police will somehow get you. But then if the whole armed forces is hunting you, you better run for your dear life. It's very difficult to hide. But maybe those days the armed forces, but still they amount to thousands of people looking for you. But so David ran. And you know, sometimes we are not sure. If you read in 1 Samuel 21, right up to 2 Samuel chapter 1 probably, you will find that David had been running for 8 years, no? 8 long years. Mind you, that's a very long time to run, isn't it? So what would you do if you were in David's shoes? What would you do? You know? I guess he would probably be discouraged, isn't it? Anybody who is hounded will be discouraged. Some of you, you get a fine from the police because of speeding, you already are discouraged. Because there's the demerit points also that go with it, isn't it? And you're worried about the demerit points, I think, not about paying the fine. anyway. today, we all have faced COVID. And many people have been affected by COVID. And of course, it is not welcome. The COVID is a real challenge for all of us because for some, it has become an uncertain future, isn't it? Because people have lost their jobs or, families have been affected, marriages have been affected. Maybe not so much in Western Australia. You all are blessed. You all are really blessed, you know, and I'm blessed to be here, you know. That's why I chose to stay for so many months. But for those who were affected, I mean, we're talking about worldwide, and still having lockdowns in Shanghai and all these places. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're going through a real tough time. Businesses have collapsed, you know, and tourism has affected your country. So, and many things. I think our lives have been turned topsy-turvy, actually, in a way. because there are people who have lost lives, isn't it? Families that have been affected. It is a kind of rude awakening for us. Maybe we become very complacent, living in a wonderful life, and we have forgotten that there are a lot of things that Jesus said is going to happen. And one of the things is that in the last days, there will be all these diverse diseases that are going to come, all kinds. And we have had SARS, we have had, you know, all those kind of things like Ebola. What was it? Ebola. Ebola and frightening MERS and all kinds, and now COVID, and we don't know what else is going to come. I heard some reports that in Ukraine there were biological labs that were being... How true it is, God alone knows, you know. But I'm sure there are many parts of the world there are biological labs, like the one in Wuhan. And man is trying to destroy man. And these are wicked things. And, you know, even you don't want them, someday something else is going to crop up, you know. But we need to be reminded Jesus is coming soon. When we see this, if we don't get the message, I mean, we just see the disease, we forget that it's a reminder for us to be ready, fully prepared, mind, body, and spirit, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, David was also in a life and death struggle. But how did he cope with it? You know, how did he react? For us, I think we will be pulling our hair. Now, if you are being hounded, you know, day and night, and you are on the run, and he's in the run in rugged country, you know. He was in the wilderness running for his life. Fortunately, he was single, or forced to be single, you know, just running for his dear life. And he was the only thing that he had comfort in was he and God. All right? And this is what he said in Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2. The first thing he said is, I wait patiently for God. Patiently. how often it is that we, when we are in trouble, can sit down and wait patiently for God. Have you seen people pacing up and down? You know, people who are pulling their hair and people who just cannot sit still because they wish they can overcome their problems straight away and that God would answer instantaneously. I know there are some people in some churches who always stay pray, and sometimes like we must order God to do it. Who are you? Hello? Please look at yourself and me looking at myself. Because we can come before God and share our trouble with Him. You can come before God and weep before God. You can ask God for divine intervention. Amen? You can call upon God, but don't demand from God. I hear some people's prayer, I get frightened. Because if I were God, I would smack them. You know what I mean? I mean, those of you who have children, if you have children that come and demand from you, Mommy, Daddy, give me $50 in your name. Give me what would you do? Smack the fella. Why you want $50? But you know, that's what we do to God, isn't it? Right? We are demanding from God and ordering God to do things for us. And sometimes we are running ahead of God. You know, He said, wait patiently. We cannot. We must do something. We must do. Cannot stay still. We must do something. No, if God says wait, you wait. Otherwise, you get smacked. You know, I think we must be very mindful of that. Pray and wait for God to show up. Because if He doesn't show up, if He shows up, you know He's there. But if He doesn't show up, means be still. We have to be still. God is in control. You are a child of God. God is in control. Okay, don't be afraid. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, secondly, not that. He says, wait for God to save me. I wait for God to save me, right? And sometimes, you know, in our hurry, we can try other ways. Some people cannot wait for God to answer, and they will use their head or sometimes listen to voices that will tell them. I know in where we come from, there are other spirits like Bomos and Tankies and some of you know, right? Or witch doctors, okay? If you want an English equivalent, witch doctors. And I want you to know the enemy is lurking around, all right? We need to know that we want spiritual intervention, not any kind of spirit. Because you open your heart's door to demonic power, you are in trouble. Because Satan will come in and he will sit in your life. And your life will become a hell. You know? Don't open the door. If you are a child of God, even if somebody is terminally ill or they have some kind of mental problem or whatever, you don't open the door to demonic power. It will be a worse situation. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8, Satan is like a roaring lion, walking and seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour people. He comes to seek, kill, and destroy, isn't it? Right? He doesn't come to bring life. And so we must be aware of it and just trust our God. Jesus is my Savior. He's my helper in the time of need. Amen. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And we don't have to depend on demon power, but trust in the power of God. We had testimonies today of how God intervened, right? In your family, in your hour of need. God is there. And we must build on those testimonies, you know, and create some of our own, amen, by trusting God, of course, you know, create our own and grow with it, you know, praise God. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on this earth, and under this earth, right? You know, that means he's the greatest power. Hallelujah. And you need to trust him. Your confidence need to grow moment by moment, day by day. And you will find that you are just growing to be a mature believer in Christ. Hallelujah. Thirdly, he says, I depend on him alone. And verse 5 says, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. Now, in two verses, one he says, I depend on him alone. The second one, he says, I depend on him alone and I put my hope in him. You know, in Psalms 30 or 27 to 8, it says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, we rise and stand firm. Psalms 27 and 8, remember that. Now, I want us to know that we don't have to lean on the arm of flesh. Because some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. And sometimes you want to go into battle, you better you know, have something. You want to fight with a gun or something like that. But when we are fighting spiritual warfare, we trust in the Lord, you know. Don't lean on the arm of flesh. Sometimes when we are in trouble, how often the first thing that comes to mind when you are not feeling well, go and see a doctor. Isn't it? I mean, among Christians also, sometimes prayer doesn't come to mind, isn't it? And even if your children are unwell, go and take a Panadol, you know? Sometimes we are not thinking of prayer at all. So we need to practice what we believe in, you know? Sometimes we have a trouble, we say, oh, go to this leader, or go to this teacher, or go to this psychologist, or go to this psychiatrist, or go to somebody. Go to somebody except God. Hello? I think we need to learn to practice to say, I need to trust God, and I go to him first. All right? Sometimes we go back to our own knowledge. And the Bible teaches us that we should not lean onto our own understanding. You know, we have, some of us have good mind. We are well educated. Okay? Self-confidence is good, but sometimes when we don't think too highly of our own ability, it is bad. You know? All right? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Okay? In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I think we need to come to that point where we say, God, I trust you. I don't even trust my own thoughts. You know, unless my thoughts are sanctified, it is something that is based on the word, something that the Holy Spirit has put there, then I trust it. You know, it's a revelation that comes to me. Otherwise, I would not trust it. Fourthly, he says in verse 2 again, he alone protects me. He alone protects me. Now, the thing is this, here was David, and he was being chased by King Saul and his army. And in life, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of times you are being chased by diseases, like what's happening now, and you are also being chased by Satan or demonic powers, and there are troubles. There are wicked people around you that give you trouble. But the thing is this, who protects you? He alone can protect you. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. The Lord, nobody else, but it's the Lord that is faithful. He will be there when you need help, you know. Nobody else can be there. He will strengthen you, and he will protect you. Hallelujah. From the evil one. And I think the problem with us is most of us will struggle with the devil because and demonic power. I think if it's a natural human, we are all right. You know, we can withstand that. But when you come against demonic power, they are strong. And if you don't have God with you, you can't overcome. You can't overcome demonic power without the power of Christ, without the blood, you know, without the power of the blood to overcome. Please remember that. All right? We have the name of Jesus, and it's only effective when you are walking with him. If you're not walking with him, it's not effective. Right? You have to live right and walk right. And then you'll find that you live a very powerful life. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 verse 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Wow. I like that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. Can you believe that, you know, whether that enemy is a disease or whether that enemy is are people that are coming against you, forces of darkness that come against you, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why we have to walk in the Spirit, which your church is doing, and I pray every one of you do. Don't stand on the outside. You know, some of us like cannot get into worship. You have to be soaked in. You know, you have to be soaked in week after week, and you have the opportunity here. I pray that each one of you come and be soaked into worship. But the way to get into it is to release yourself into it and pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and pray, allow God to touch you and to soak in. Hallelujah. Praise God. You cannot have too much of him. Amen. The more you have of him, the better it will be for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You remember the Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Now, there was a time when Daniel was, don't know where, he probably was somewhere else, and the king put up a statue of himself and said, everybody must bow down and worship. And the three Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you can't remember, shake the bait, make the bait, and into bait you go, you know. The three of them were there. And so everybody bowed down except the three fellas were standing up, you know. And of course, there were people that came to the king and said, you know, these three guys you brought from Israel, you know, they refused to bow down to your idol. And according to the plan, is anybody who does not bow down to the idol will be thrown into the fiery furnace, you know. So they brought the three to the king, and the king said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. Huh? A second chance, you know, because these were three good men, the cream of the crop from Israel. And they decided that they were not going to bow down. They said, king, even if you play the music one more time, we are not going to bow down. And then the king said, heat the furnace seven times hotter. Even the fellas who were trying to heat it up, some of them were killed. But that was the instruction. And they said, we are not going to bow down. And the king was full of rage, you know. How dare you, you know. This is Nebuchadnezzar, you know. And they stood firm. And they said, king, even if you throw us in and we don't survive, we will never bow down to the idol. Now, think about it. Your faith must be that even if God doesn't come to rescue you at that point in time, you will still not bow down. You see, that was their commitment. That faith they had in God. A lot of times we say, I have faith in God. My confidence is in God because he will deliver me. What if he doesn't? You remember in the New Testament times, in the early church, there were many people who were thrown to the lions, isn't it? Many Christians were fed to the lions in the arena. They died. Sometimes we think that, you know, it will not happen to us, but it just might. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Hello? Okay? So, but in Western Australia, no lah. Yeah. Yeah. You're all having a holiday time. But in the rest of the world, there are a lot of persecution. You know, in China, many people have lost their lives. In the Middle East, many have been killed. And maybe it will happen to many parts of the world. I know in India also, there are people who have been persecuted very badly. Yeah, by the Hindu militants. But you know, I want you to know that even though there will be temptations that we face, like these three Hebrew children, God says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to men. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You know, it's like going to a dentist. Everybody is frightened of going to the dentist. Especially when they're going to inject you, they show you this long needle they are going to. Wow, you see that already? You pingsan a little bit. You know, pingsan means fainted. You know. And we don't like the needles. We don't like the extractions. We don't like, you know, all these things. But the thing is, when you are going through it, all right, you find that it's not so bad after all. Of course, you were not going to do it every day. But God says there will be tribulation. There will be a pain. There will be suffering. But he says, I will not allow you to go through what you cannot bear. And if you have to go through it, I will give you the ability to withstand it. Okay? Withstand it. Like you think, I cannot take the injection or I cannot take the extraction. But then when you go through it, you find, yeah, okay, I came out alive. But then sometimes we may not come out alive through a persecution. But God gives you the ability to withstand it. Because you think about all those Christians in the Middle East who were beheaded. How did they withstand it? They stood firm. I mean, they knelt there and their throats were slit, you know. But they paid the price. God will enable us to do whatever he deems fit at that time. To his glory, you know. And for us, if we have to be a martyr, we have to be a martyr. But we need to go. We have confidence that God knows what he's doing. Amen. Number five, All right. He says, he is my defender. Am I correct? Yeah. Oh, this is six. I may have lost one. Well, anyway, God is my defender in verse 2. And when you talk about God is my defender, there is an accuser, isn't it? Who is the accuser of the brethren? The accuser of the brethren is Satan. Revelation 12 tells you that, right? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I want you to know that day and night he will accuse you. Whether you're in your working place or whether in your home or whether in your, you know, sometime, let's not husband and wife take the place of the accuser of the brethren, you know. Sometimes the wife accuses the husband and then the husband accuses the wife. you didn't get that. Never mind. Okay. Sometimes you have one accuser of the brethren is enough. You know, we don't need so many. We have a lot of battles to fight, and the spiritual battles are really powerful, you know. But sometimes we have additional ones, you know, that come in on a daily basis. My wife and I have that going on now and again. And those are things that can be overcome easily. But when the enemy comes and accuses you, you find that God is your defender. Hallelujah. Because you are the child of God. And God will fight your battles for you. You know, just tell you the story about 2 Chronicles 20, where there were three tribes, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, that were coming against Judah and Jerusalem. And King Jehoshaphat was frantic, actually, because they were totally unprepared and they could not fight against these three tribes that were coming against them. And he cried out to God, you know, and he says, "Our God," in verse 12, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that must be the case with us. Here is a king crying out for his people. And he's calling upon God. And verse 13 says, "All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah. And he said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" Hallelujah. Praise God. And sometimes you may feel that there's a big force that's coming against you. And sometimes maybe COVID is a big force that has come against you. Or sometimes it's something else in your life that's coming against you and you feel that you cannot take it anymore. Remember, the battle belongs to God. You cry out to him, you call upon him, and he fights the battle for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then lastly, he says, "I shall never be defeated," in verse 2. "I shall never be defeated." Verse 6 again, he says the same thing. "He alone protects me and saves me. He's my defender, and I shall never be defeated." Hallelujah. I want you to know that we are not defeated people. We are people who are victorious. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, we are victorious. And we claim that victory all the time. I remember a couple of years ago, where we are, my wife and I, trying to downsize our flat we are staying in. And because my children are all married, and the last one also left us with his family. So, and they are in Australia now, the last one. And that's why we are here. But we were going to sell our flat. And it was a bad time, actually. The economy was favored the buyers, not the sellers. And that's terrible, isn't it? You want to sell your house, but it favors the buyers. And so we put out, we got a very good agent to help us. And he was trying. He thought he could achieve it within a few months. So we gave him 3 months, and he couldn't sell the house. Mind you, every time Alice and I went out for a walk, I told her, she said, still nobody. How many people came to visit? Overall, we had about 40 people visiting our home. Can you imagine? You know, people walking in your house, looking around, making comments, you know, and then going out again. 40 families came. One even came with a wheelchair, you know, and went through the house. So she kept asking me very often. I said, don't worry. We pray. And God will just have to give us one buyer. One buyer. But every month of waiting is painful. You know, you trust God, but you wish it will come sooner, right? And you get the right price, you know? And it's a bad time for us. So we prayed, and we prayed. And at the end of the 6 months, 6 months of waiting, I tell you, that is trusting God. You trust God and you wait and wait and wait for the right time. And it was at the end of the 6 months, this one lone Chinese woman came. She's a China woman, all right? Nothing against China woman, but she was a China woman. And she came in, she very briefly walked around the house, and she went out. And the agent told us, and this was an agent who's got, you know, who is a super agent, actually. And he says, I don't think she will. She'll make an offer. But you know what? That's the woman that made the offer. Lone woman. Those who came in with, you know, the whole families and grandpa and grandma and all that, never made any offer. They all came for a tour, you know. But what I want to stress is, sometimes you go through some things like this and you say, God, we are desperate. We just need someone to say, yeah, I offer this price to you. And then it's a deal close. But then God said, wait. So we waited. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. 5 months, 6 months. And then he came. Waiting for God's time. You trust God, but if you are in a hurry, then it's not the right time. But we got close to the price we wanted. Hallelujah. The China woman had a lot of money to give. So, and we were very happy because God persuaded her, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But you know, the thing is this. David had so much confidence because he did certain things in his life, which I think we must do. Because without it, I think we will not be very confident. Number one, David spends time with God, right? if you go through the whole Psalms, all the time you find David is talking to God, either because, not because he has no time, he's a king, by the way, you know, David was a king and a lot of the Psalms were written during that time, but the thing is, he sought after God. He sought after God. In Psalm 63, verse 1, you can see that he desired intimacy with God. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, "Oh God, you are my God, and I long for you, more of you. My whole being desires you like a dry, worn out, and waterless land. My soul is thirsty for you." Amen? That's how much he thirsts. Brothers and sisters, we need to thirst for God like that. You want to have confidence in God, there must be this thirst within you for God. Because otherwise, you know, it's not a wish. It's not a wish. It's a drive within inside of us. There must be a thirst. In Psalms 42, he writes, "As a deer panteth," we sing that song, right? "As a deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longs after you." This is David, and this must be us, because him as a man that's crying out to God day and night, and he wants to know God. He wants to be close to God. And thirdly, he has fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. We need to have time with God. It's like, you know, when you have grandchildren. I have seven, and the sixth one was a girl, and she grew up in our house. And very often, she would come and sit on my lap and yarn with me, you know. Now she's almost 10 years old. But she would come and sit on my lap and yarn with me and fellowship, sometimes fall asleep on my lap, you know. It is such a wonderful feeling to have a child. Sometimes we have forgotten when our children were young. Because it's such a long time. But when you have grandchildren, I encourage all the grandparents to enjoy your grandchildren while they are young. My eldest granddaughter is already 19 years old. So, but the younger ones, we have a five-year-old now. And we are having fun with him. So the thing is this, that fellowship that you have with them, just being close, just sometimes talking, nothing very important. But that's what God wants us to have fellowship with him, to be close to him, to tell everything is on our heart to him, you know, and just worship him, adore him, you know. And I feel sometimes grandchildren just come and sit down with you because they adore you, and they just sit down and they eat with you. I remember my granddaughter when I used to eat salads, she would come and eat salads with me. And yesterday I found out she still loves salads. Wow. Then my wife was saying that's how she learned to eat salads, eating with grandpa, you know. But that was the fellowship time we had, eating together, talking together, you know, just being close. And God wants us to be close with him. And David found that formula to just fellowship in the presence of God. It's not about asking about anything. You know, children don't always ask. When they are very young, they don't ask, "I want sweet, I want this, I want that." No, no, no. Sometimes they just want your presence. They want to be cuddled. They want you to play with them, you know, and be with them. And we need that time. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God is knocking at our heart's door. He says, "I want to come in and I want to fellowship with you. Because when I am present in your life, you will have confidence." Amen? You will have confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close with this verse. Yeah. As I said, I would. trust in God at all times, my people. That was what he said in verse 8. In other words, trust in God 100% at all times, in all circumstances, especially when we face Satan, the enemy of our soul. And David says, I wait patiently for God to save me. I depend on him alone. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. Hallelujah. Never be defeated. Praise God. I pray that each one of us will have the faith that the centurion had. You remember the centurion who came to Jesus and he said, my slave is actually sick, very sick. Would you come in? Will you heal him? And Jesus said, do you want me to go with you? He said, no. He said, speak the word. Oh, I tell you, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. No, not in Israel. Sometimes we want a touch. We want this, but we need the word of God. Amen? The word from the Bible to you to bring deliverance, to give you that confidence. Hallelujah. And that man said, you speak the word and my servant will be healed. And he was healed at that hour when Jesus spoke the word. Hallelujah. And you have a struggle. You have that, you know, you have a difficulty. You have a trial. You need a word from Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether it's a logos or whether it's a rhema word, but you need a word from Jesus. And you need that confidence that when you call upon him, he will answer you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shakaramandai. I want you all to just lift up your hands and just worship God in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Everybody just pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Ho karabashandalaman. Surabakalamashiri andaramandarabako rabashiri andai. Roba kalabashandaramandaya rabako shiri andai. Manamandaraboko rabashandarabako shayandaramasuri andai. Mikarabasuri andala masabakayande morabariande rebekeshera bakala bakoshandara mandarabai mirebayande rabasura bakadai. Fall upon us, Lord. Fall upon your people, O God. Shekandai. Marabakore andere beshera bakayandara mandai. Romokoshandala make barabasodara bakayandara mandorobo. Mindarabasa parabakayandara mashandara bakurayandai. Oriandalamo rabasabakandai. Shandaramoko rabayalama rabasarabakayande. Yandaramashukayandai. Hallelujah. 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 Shandaramakotara yasandai. Hallelujah. Do you know that song, I Love You, Lord? I love you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God with that song. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my. soul rejoice. Lay down my King in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Hallelujah. Sing it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, hallelujah, to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you take your right hand and put it on your chest? Hallelujah. I want you to pray in confidence on your own. I want you to cry out to God and say, God, I believe in you. I trust you for my circumstances. I want you to pray for victory right now. Only you know what you are going through. Would you open up your mouth and talk to God? Hallelujah. Cry out to him right now, everyone. Hallelujah. Ho karamba shandala masayandai. Oh, Jesus. Shika parabayondai. Hallelujah. Grant breakthroughs, Father, in the name of Jesus. We believe you. We believe you. We trust you. Hallelujah. Oraba sabakayandaramai. Oriabakeshidiandai. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Shandaramakaparabasuriandaramai. Get your victory. Get your victory this morning. Get your victory this morning from sickness, from struggles in your workplace. Get your victory this morning from struggles in your family, struggles between husband and wife. Struggles because of separation. Pray for victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He can move mountains. The Lord can move mountains in your life. Hallelujah. Believe. Believe and trust him. Hallelujah. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Hallelujah, for victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Fukarabashandala mashiriandai. Lord, we know your hands are not short that you cannot touch. You will touch every single person. You hear the cry of every one of us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for a great victory for everyone, every family. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you for being here with us, Lord. And Father, we will go with your presence. We will go with your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, to our homes. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to pray you bless every family, bless every home. Father, every individual, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, may our eyes be always upon you. And I pray for the spirit of David to be upon us, O God, that we have faith and we wait patiently and we trust you and we know you will defend us, you will protect us, and you will give us the victory in the name of Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Pastor.
Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for just giving us the right word for today. Yes. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's just for a few moment here, let's allow the Holy Ghost to really touch and continue to minister. Even as we just being still in his presence, allow him to just operate on us. I believe he's touching many of us here even right now.
The Lord is speaking today to someone here. You have left your first love. Whence have you left your first love for Him? He's longing for you. He's waiting for you. Yield yourself today to Him because He's waiting. He's waiting for you. Consider it now, right now, and yield yourself. Surrender your all to Him today, for He waits for you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not sure if anyone can relate with this morning, but if you came here this morning with a heavy heart, or a lot of things in your mind, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the word that has gone forth is just lifting that up. Feel that release right now. Maybe a load that we are bearing too heavy for us to carry, but the Lord, He is our burden bearer. Oh, we declare once again, Lord, You are our confidence, and in You we trust. You are our rock, our refuge. You are our salvation. You are our fortress, Lord. You are our help in times of need. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We look up to You as the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. That's right. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we want to conclude this time together. If you felt the Lord really touch you through this message today, and you just want to respond to that, I'd like to invite Pastor Jack to pray. If there's anyone, especially if you really feel the message and you really want to pray in that respect, yeah, I'd like to just allow him to just minister. And but otherwise, the service is dismissed. If you want to have a chat, you may please find you can do that outside. But just for this duration of time, we'll just have a time of ministry. So if you really feel like you want to respond, and you know the Lord is doing something in your heart right now, and you really sense that you need prayer, please come forward. But otherwise, have a wonderful week. God bless you. We'll see you again.